Welcome to Handsome Boys Comics Hour. Hope you survive the experience.
Those boys are so handsome!
One writer,
one artist,
one weekly discussion of comics and nerd culture. I am your host, Robbie Dorman, literature geek and writer.
And I'm your other host, Eric Z. Goodnight, professional artist and illustration nerd.
And we are the Handsome Boys Comics Hour, your home for news, reviews, slightly antagonistic banter, and much, much more. This is episode 43. Dear Lord, 43 episodes.
I know. I feel like I'm getting old here.
You're like an anti-baby.
Mm-hmm. That we did establish that 1 minute ago.
No
one else got to hear me say that.
Maybe they will if they listen all the way to the end.
Maybe. I don't know.
Hint, hint. You guys, if you're not listening all the way to the end, you're missing out really good, stupid stuff.
I'm disappointed when there's not an Easter egg. Because I want to hear myself say something dumb. And then sometimes it's you saying something dumb.
Surprise!
I know. I'm like, well, what the hell? Now I'm disappointed.
30 seconds of us going,
well, I need to listen to that for hours.
Just put it on a loop.
Yeah,
I'll make a special loop just for you.
I'm going to build a white noise machine out of it.
Just 8 hours, 8 hour length. Well, you only sleep like 5 hours a night, so because you're like Thomas Edison.
Yes.
So, you can just do a 5 hour loop of funny noises.
Coincidentally, my middle name is Alva.
Alva, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what the Z stands for? Alva.
The Z stands for Alva.
It made me think of your the grapefruit grapefruit mustache guy.
Yes, he's the P is for penis.
P is for penis, and your Z is for Alva.
Z is for Alva. Actually, Windsor McKay's middle name was Zenus, so I could be the Z is for Zenus.
Your real middle name is amazing anyway. You don't need to.
I don't need to spice things up at all.
No, I mean, yeah, exactly.
I'm already spicy enough.
You're very spicy.
Ooh la la.
You're like that five spice seasoning?
I'm just like that.
Or
I'm
all spice. Maybe I'm you're all spice.
I'm
you're
also,
all spices.
Yes, I am. I'm the spiciest.
Yes. We are very silly because it's late and we're sleepy.
Yes.
We're hallucinating. Because of lack of sleep.
We're dragging ass. It's been a long weekend and a lot of work and a lot of comic book reading.
Yes. In other news, today's episode is brought to you by Rockstar Pure Zero Blue Ice. Zero calories, zero sugar. Tastes not very good.
That's how you know it's not really an ad, because he's like, this is terrible.
I saw two new flavors in a 7-Eleven in Orlando. One was a mango. It's not bad. This Blue Ice, I was like, I was doubtful about its quality. I was correct in doubting it. It's not very good.
Well, I think you can always tell when something's going to be bad when it doesn't name a food product.
just a color.
Blue.
It's blue.
This tastes like toilet bowl cleaner.
Maybe if it had a shit ton of artificial sweeteners.
Yes.
That's probably what it would taste like.
Yes, it's not recommended.
But anyway, Handsome Boys, we got an amazing show for you tonight, today, whenever you're listening to it. It could be any time.
You could be listening to it in the far-flung future.
300 million years from now.
Yep.
It's the only thing that
has been raised to the ground by magic witch robots.
The only thing they recover is this podcast. Yes. They're going to be the Rosetta Stone.
We'd better just start spouting out every word that we know.
But we got some mostly good comic books this week to discuss. I have one in mind that's pretty terrible, but other than that, I've got some. We got a giant dose of Brandon Graham later on, which is always good.
It's almost an overdose.
Almost an overdose, not quite.
Got pretty dangerous.
Dangerous.
I'm just... maybe even danger-esque.
Ooh. Hear that, folks? Danger-esque.
Ooh.
But I think it's time to go to checking in.
That sounds like a good idea. So why don't you do it?
Well, I should tell the listener what checking in is, shouldn't I?
You're right. I forgot.
Checking in is when we talk about nerdy things that we've been doing during the week. Believe me, they are nerdy.
That we just have no control. It's always nerdy. All nerd all the time.
All nerd all the time. 24/7. Nerd. I'd say it more times, but we'd only have 2 hours to record this podcast in.
And then we turn into pumpkins.
Then we turn into pumpkins. I turn into a squash, actually.
A spaghetti squash?
Those are the best kind.
I've never had one still.
Really? You haven't made any faux pasta with it?
No, I have not.
It's actually pretty good.
I've heard it's very good.
Yeah. Anyway, Eric, what do you got to check in with? What do you got?
Oh, my God. My life is all work. You know, I finally picked up, what is it, A Dance with Dragons?
Mm-hmm.
Or A Dance with Dragons, however the shit. I can't do that accent. I'm really bad at it. So just be sure and laugh at me. That was not a laugh. That's just creepy. So yeah, I finally picked it up again. Slogging my way through it, and I've just got back to good old Reek.
Oh, God.
It's pretty horrifying.
Yeah. I came back around on Reek by the end of that book, so.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It couldn't happen to a nicer guy, honestly. I won't give any spoilers on Reek.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, I know.
Yes.
There's some knowing going
Everyone
on.
Everyone who knows what that, just that knows about a character named Reek, they understand already.
Yes.
Yeah.
Old Reek. His life is shit.
Rhymes with leak.
It does rhyme with leak. And meek. And peak. Other words.
And beak.
And yes.
Yeah. Creek.
Old leak. Old Reek.
I saw you this weekend, though, Eric.
Yes, good Lord.
Didn't we do something?
I don't think so.
We didn't do anything?
I mean, it was just an ordinary day for me.
An ordinary day dressing up fancy like JR?
Yeah. Hey, wait a minute. Why don't you spill the beans on that? Because that was really the biggest thing that I did as well.
Yeah. We, Eric, and I, and a group of our friends. We have friends. We know other people besides each other. Crazy. We went to Disney World in Orlando, Florida, specifically the Magic Kingdom, for an event called Dapper Day. And on Dapper Day, you dress up all fancy-like in nice clothes and, in you know, looking all sharp. And then you just kind of walk around and do dapper things. Look dapper.
Mostly you sweat, I think.
Yeah, well, luckily it was March and not July.
Yes.
If it was July, I would not have done it. Because it would have been 100 degrees outside.
It would have been a significantly less dapper day.
No, we'd be melting day. Meltdown day. But you just kind of walk around, feel important because you're all dressed up fancy. You have a tie on or a fancy hat. I just did the little hat motion with my hand.
I saw, and by that I mean no, I didn't.
But I had a very good time at Dapper Day. It's other than my feet absolutely still hurting 2 days later.
Yes.
From walking around in, you know, uncomfortable shoes for 9 hours or so. More than that.
I feel surprisingly well rested. It is a Tuesday. I was absolutely wrecked on Monday because it was also Daylight Savings Day.
Mm-hmm.
Worst day in the year.
Yeah, yesterday was terrible.
Yes, yesterday was indeed terrible.
I was falling asleep on my desk.
I was nodding off driving to work.
Jesus.
That's,
I've done that before.
I did it on Monday, and
that's not good.
No, it is the opposite. It is anti good.
You have to stop and hit yourself in the face.
I just said, fuck it, if I die, it'll be fine. At least I'll be sleeping. See, I probably slept 4 hours. It was not very restful sleep, and I was just stomped all day. Oh, I couldn't get anything done. It was a miserable day.
We got home after midnight, and then woke up early because I had to take my car to the shop.
That is rotten.
Needs new brakes.
That's terrible, dude.
And rotors.
So what time did you have to go into work?
Oh, I mean, we left here at 7-ish.
7-ish.
Earlier than we normally would, but I had to drop her off. I had to drop Kim off at work and then go to work myself. And then, you know, after we dropped the car off. And
I think I'm obligated to ask, who's Kim?
Kim is my fiance.
Congratulations!
Thank you. That's the other thing I'm checking in with.
Yeah.
I'm getting married in a year or so.
Yeah, that's, I think I teared up a little bit.
Oh, Eric does have a heart. Mm-hmm. It's buried deep down inside of him.
I just don't cuddle cats when I'm dressed up.
I don't think I can ever stop myself from cuddling cats.
You have a
sickness. I'm a cat cuddler.
You have a sickness. Anyway, there is another Dapper Day in September, ain't there? There's two a year, I seem to remember.
I'll take your word for it. I do not know.
Well, let me check. Well, this says Disneyland, so
maybe it's the one in California.
The one in Disneyland might be. I ain't flying to California to.
What you know? What we're doing for? You know what we're doing? Dapper Day in September. We're doing Dragon Con.
Yeah,
you'll be dapper at Dragon Con. I know you will.
Oh yeah, you've witnessed it.
Yes, exactly. So
we're starting DapperCon.
DapperCon.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy enough to work.
I think it is. You heard it here, folks.
That's trademark, copyright, Handsome Boys Comics Hour, limited rights reserved, all that legal.
We open up a lot of copyrights on this show.
We do. They're all legally binding too.
They are.
All
they
of them.
So are. So there we go.
But, yeah, I think we're checked. I think I was checking.
I feel pretty checked.
It's like Tekken, but with less fighting.
Checking.
Is there a guy with a tiger head in it or something? We don't have any of those.
His soul still burns. That's a different game, but who cares?
You had me fooled. I had no idea.
Do you not know the difference between Tekken and Soul Calibur?
I know the difference. I don't know anything about. I don't know. Remember all the little things.
Well, you hate fighting games.
I like Soul Calibur, actually.
Well, that's because it's a masher game.
Yeah, I like Soul Calibur. I like Dead or Alive.
Those are both masher games.
Exactly. Hence why I'm.
And I don't think either one. Most of them are just about boobies.
Well, that's a strong. I mean, when I was a teenager, that was a very strong component on buying a game. I mean, it still is to a certain extent.
I was gonna say
not as much.
Yeah, I still appreciate boobies,
but I mean, it could have been the soul. I mean, that's all a game needed when I was 16 years old.
Yes,
I don't. What? There's actual gameplay involved.
Mm-hmm.
Bonus. Anyway, now that we're done with checking in, it is time for the floppiest part of the week. Eric's favorite part of the week.
Clearly.
Time for weekly floppies. You have to say yay verily, Eric.
Oh, you're right. Yay verily.
There we go.
I didn't realize it was my line there.
Yeah, that was well, it's okay. We're all sleepy.
Well,
including the three cats now in the room with me. Weekly flippies. Weekly floppies is the part of the show. Weekly floppies is the part of the show where we look at five books that came out this week and tell you to buy or do not buy them. and you should obey us because we are your future masters of the Lord. I don't know. I can't even.
Well, we've already discussed I'm going to be a future robot.
That's true. Future robot.
Yes.
Anyway, we're starting off with DC. And we only have one DC book this week, you may notice. It's because the rest of them look terrible. And this one, I mean, not saying this book's good, but the rest of them looked like not even appetizing. And I should also note that Forever Evil came out this week. I didn't buy it. You shouldn't either. Our first book is Batwing number 29. Another book that I'm giving us a tour of the New 52 as we check in on a whole bunch of different series throughout a couple months. And to see, you know, try and expand our horizons, not read the four DC books that we actually enjoy over and over again. You know, try and spread our wings a little bit, or maybe spread our bat wings a little bit. Pausing for laughter and applause.
You're not going to get a lot from me.
Batwing number 29, written by Jimmy Palmiotti and Justin Gray, pencils by Eduardo Pansica, inks by Julio Ferreira, colors by Paul Mounts, letters by Taylor Esposito. This book, for those who don't know the premise, which I didn't until I read it, is that Lucius Fox's son has like this super high-tech Batman suit. It basically is like the Batman Beyond suit.
Yeah, it's very Batman Beyond.
Apparently he's trying to find his lost sisters have disappeared. And they find one in here in this book of the two. And then he goes to like underground city where they're like Egyptian god worshippers.
I think that he's in Demolition Man.
Is he? Oh, I didn't get that. That might be why I didn't understand this book.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize that they were crossing over into Sylvester Stallone movies from 1996.
You know what year Demolition Man came out? Off the top of your head like that? That's creepy.
I actually don't.
Okay.
I just guessed.
Well, it feels like a very good guess.
It's in like a 3-year time period in the late 90s, so I just took a stab at it. What do you think about this book, Eric?
It's really weird. It seems like almost everything I read that Palmiotti's involved with, like, it's never, like terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want to jump off a building or scrape my face on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
But I also don't really love it. There's a lot of criticisms and things I could say about it. It's got well-executed art and a story that doesn't make me want to kill myself, and sometimes... Sometimes it just seems like that's all you can expect from a DC book. And that kind of makes me sad.
Yeah, I had said to you over the weekend, I hate the New 52.
Yes.
And that's,
are you sure I didn't say that to you?
I think you echoed me, but I'm fairly certain I said it first.
Maybe you said it first this weekend. Yes.
You said it before.
Yes,
I was bringing up the topic again.
Yes, it's worth bringing up.
Yeah, I don't know. The thing that bugs me about this book, other than it's like Batman Beyond, but mm-hmm. in the present day, what mm-hmm. I mean, what's the point of having future Batman with like special suits that we can do it today? But the fact that, you know, they find one of his daughters and she's brain dead.
Yeah.
I
was seriously wondering about that. It's so odd.
It seems so manipulative. Like, yes. It's just such a obvious ploy to make, like, try and make you feel for a character that you may not have any kind of connection with. Like, isn't this awful? Look how awful this is.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the movie Crash. Like, the 2004 Crash. Mm-hmm. Have you seen that?
No.
Have you seen Million Dollar Baby?
I've not.
Okay. They're both written by a guy named Paul Haggis.
Mm-hmm.
And he does this type of thing where he just, like, has these, like, all these characters and then just does awful things to them and therefore, like, makes you care for them because they're having awful things done to them.
Yes.
And you're supposed to, like, think that it's deep or something.
Right.
And it's not deep. It's just manipulative drivel. It's not putting the work in. It's not... I mean, obviously, it's one issue. I'm not supposed to, like, have deep connections to these characters in one issue, necessarily. But it just seems like it's a way to shortcut you to feel something.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like that.
Well, it feels very clumsy.
Yeah. My Tam is a vegetable, Bruce.
Yes.
God.
Vegetable Bruce.
Why does Bruce Wayne look like he's, like, 19 years old in this?
Yeah, he looks like a baby.
He's the... I mean, Lucius Fox's son looks 10 years older than him.
Mm.
I don't know. It's not bad, like you said. It's just kind of meh. I can't get excited about it. I can't recommend it.
You know, he's Iron Batman. Iron Man Batman.
Yeah.
He even has the heads up, like, display overlaid on his face, just like in the Iron Man movie.
Yeah, the HUD.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he's doing a flash kick.
He does.
Somersault.
He does do a flash kick, and I don't know. The art, like you said, is not bad.
I enjoy quite a lot of it, honestly, but that's just me.
I mean, I like it. It's not like I go, there's nothing I want to pick on about it except that Bruce Wayne looks young. But
well, I think the Iron Man Batman suit looks really cool. I really like the way that it's drawn, and the last several pages I think are just really well done and gorgeous. But it's all flash. It doesn't really. There's no substance here.
No. It's better than a lot of the DC books that we've read.
Yeah.
I like it more than I like Supergirl. I like it more than... What was the one we read before that? The extra one. I can't remember. I like Flash more than this.
Flash is...
better than
Flash
this.
Flash is better than this.
Yeah. I guess I'm mostly ambivalent towards it, which probably means do not buy.
It's not... I would not recommend it. No. Yeah. No.
Okay. That's a double do not buy. Double do not buy.
Double.
Ooh.
Yeah. Do something for you there.
It did a little bit. Next up is Starlight number one. This is the first of two indie books we're doing this week. This is the first book of these quote-unquote Millarverse. You know, he's Image has given Mark Millar kind of a blank slate to build his own universe, sort of. And this is the first of it. And first of all, written by Mark Millar, art by Goran Parlov, colors Ives Fresina, letters by Marco Sunyik. This is kind of like if Flash Gordon retired from, like, fighting, had a family, and then one day... He's alone again and decides to go back at it.
I think it also has... Flash Gordon is spot on, but it feels a little Princess of Mars, too.
Yeah.
A little John Carter, but these things are the same genre.
A lot of...
A similar time period.
Hugely pulp.
Oh, yeah.
Pulp adventure influence stuff.
Absolutely. This is absolutely my favorite book this week.
Yeah,
no,
it's
no
really
bones
good
about it. It's excellent.
This is
exactly the kind of story I want to read. It's steeped in, you know, comic book and
pop culture.
Yeah, it's really steeped in that tradition, but it has a unique enough spin that it's worth reading, even if you're not a huge fan of that junk.
No, and I didn't know what to expect coming into this with Mark Millar, and a lot of his stuff, especially nowadays, is just ultra-violent dreck. Like, it's just violence for the sake of violence, and it feels like he's really trying on this. Like, he's really putting a lot of his own, like, this is a project of his that he's wanted to do for a long time, and I think you can kind of feel it, that mm-hmm. this really has his soul in it, and it really, you really kind of feel for this old guy, this, you know, this space adventure. It made me think of old Bruce Wayne from Dark Knight Returns a little bit, too. Old Batman. Aging Batman.
He's not beating up a tidal wave
of gang members.
Street criminals, yeah.
No, but, I mean, the way that, like, he's still, like, they talk about, like, he's still a gigantic guy, and he's still mm-hmm. in great shape, but he's kind of, by the end of this issue, he's kind of, you know, kind of that kind of hopeless, sad kind of feeling you get.
Yep.
But it's very good comic. I was not expecting it to be this good. And it's very, very good. And the art is gorgeous.
It is. This is, I think this is going to end up being the Mobius episode, because here's yet another artist.
Yeah.
That, would gladly spend his life licking Mobius's butthole. Almost more so than Brandon Graham, who we're going to talk a lot about later on.
Yeah.
They're clearly, even as far as color schemes, lifted straight from Mobius comics.
Yeah, that was about to say. And I really like the palette shifts from,
mm-hmm. from the,
his
the
space adventures to, yep. like, modern day. It's really, really well done.
Yeah, it's very clever on that level. That was one of the things that Mobius always said about how he preferred his color in comic books, that that they should be garish and beautiful. And you can tell they kind of ascribe to that all the colors are very saturated, where mm-hmm. all the real life, everything is more muted and toned down.
Yeah.
It's pretty clever.
Yeah. When I first heard about this whole Millarverse, you know, like, idea, I was mm-hmm. like, but I'm genuinely excited for this now, because this book sold it.
I could see myself reading a whole hell of a lot of these, because this is fantastic.
Yeah, it's very, very good. Definitely a buy.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, so Starlight number one, double buy. Double buy.
Double buy.
Double buy. Next up is The Auteur number one. This was a last minute substitution because I could not get the Veil from Greg Rucka on digital. I wanted to do that, but so I picked this up instead because I heard about how disgusting it was. This is insane.
I think that's nuts. Putting it mildly.
Yeah, this is bonkers. Within two pages, you get Abraham Lincoln chopping a guy's head in half with an axe. Before we get much further, it's written by Rick Spears, illustrated by James Callahan, colors by Luigi Anderson, lettered by Rick Spears as well. Did you like this, Eric?
It depends on what you mean by like.
Would you buy this again? or would you mind reading it again at a later date?
This is the kind of book that I would like own a trade of.
Yeah.
You know, one trade. And people would come visit me and I'd be like, look at this crazy shit.
This is insane.
Yeah, exactly. I know a lot of people, a lot of weird artists that are drawn to strange things like this.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting, and it's a train wreck, not because it's bad. It is certainly trying to be exactly what it is.
Yes.
It's a little... The closest thing we've ever read to it is God Hates Astronauts.
I was going to say a thing. It's we're going to come back to our default comparison for insane things.
Yeah.
And that's, I was going to say the same thing, yeah.
Yeah, it absolutely is. I certainly do not regret buying it. I love that we live in a world where a nutball team like this exists.
Mm-hmm.
And I might have to pick up a collection of these. The art is really nicely just beautiful, mostly because it's so crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And you can really tell that they're having a lot of fun doing it. They're drawing crazy shit because they have crazy shit in their brain.
Yes.
It's a bit tough to articulate.
The basic plot is about this director is on his like last, his last project was terrible, like bombed crazy. And now his idea for the next one is like a president slasher movie.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the insanity comes in his like dream sequences where it's just unbelievably violent.
Yeah.
Stuff. Very, very gory. Very, I mean, it's so over the top. It's like, it's hard to take seriously. Like it's like Monty Python level violence.
Yes.
Where just like there's fountains of blood shooting out or Peter Jackson.
I think Peter Jackson's, this is Dead Alive, the comic book.
Yeah, it is. And I like it. I can buy into its insanity. It's well done. Like you said, mm-hmm. it knows what it wants to do and it is doing that very well. It wants to be completely insane. It doesn't try and be something more than it is. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
I am a buy.
I think I can see eye to eye with that. I don't know that I'm going to buy every single book in this, but I like this book, and I would recommend it to my fellow nut jobs.
Exactly.
So that's a buy jobs. From me. That's right, fellow nut jobs.
Double buy.
I did not think we'd meet consensus on that one.
Fellow nut jobs.
Fellow nut jobs.
Next up is Marvel. We got a pair of number ones in the second wave of all new Marvel Now. And I would say the two I've been looking forward to the most. We're going to start off with Magneto number one. This is written by our buddy from Venom, Cullen Bunn. Art by Gabriel Hernandez-Volta, Jordi Belair on colors, and Corey Pettit doing the letters. An easy summary of this book is kind of... Eric hasn't seen First Class, which I just found out this weekend. But there's a sequence in X-Men First Class where they're trying to track down Magneto, Professor X is, and he's like hunting Nazis. And that was kind of what when this book was being promoted, you know, a couple months ago when it was announced, they're like, it's kind of like that, where it's Magneto kind of doing like on a personal mission, on personal vendettas, hunting down people who've wronged him and mutants. It wasn't completely what I would expected, but I like it. I think it's solid. I think it set up the premise of the book fairly well.
I came into it really not expecting anything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really think that any part of it really surprised me. Mm-hmm. It wasn't exactly predictable. It went a lot of ways that I thought it would go, but I still really enjoyed the ride.
Yeah, I'm not saying I was surprised by what happened in it. I was expecting something different. But
what were you expecting?
I don't know. I don't. It's hard to say. I'm like trying to. I guess more grandiose.
Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of what's good about this is how almost petty it seems.
Magneto was the Punisher.
Mm-hmm. Right.
A little bit.
He is wearing black.
Yeah, and holed up in a hotel room with like newspaper clippings on his. On the wall, maps, and kind of just down and dirty.
It's a clever take, I think. I really like the device where it shows he's like sensing all the metal stuff around him.
Yeah,
I thought that was pretty clever.
Yeah, I really enjoy that the Matrix shootout scene. Basically,
oh Lord, yeah,
that's really cool. He assembles a helmet out of rubble, basically.
It's a very slick book.
Yeah. Do you like the art?
I do. It's got a different feel to it. It actually feels a lot like an Inhumans book. It starts out feeling very Steve Dillon.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Like yeah.
The characters at the beginning.
Yeah,
they look just like Steve Dillon characters. And then it pretty sharply starts to look like. Do you know humanoids? You've read humanoids books with me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Meta Barons, Juan Jimenez.
Yeah.
A lot of other artists like Fred Beltran. But it looks kind of like that sort of European style, specifically from Humanoids Publishing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what the inspiration for that was, but anything that makes me think of probably my favorite comic book publisher is, yeah, it's going to bring a smile to my face.
I mean, Colin Bunn, like, I think he personally recruited this artist because he had done more of that. Stuff not superhero comics.
Yes.
He had drawn more independent stuff that, you know, you're not going to, Marvel and DC wouldn't publish, and he was recruited, and Marvel continually adding very disparate styled artists
mm-hmm.
into their, you know, wing to do a comic, and this is what you get. So
I think that's an interesting take. It's hard for me not to think that Marvel's doing all the right moves and DC's doing all the wrong ones. That Marvel is diversifying where DC is narrow casting more and more and more. They're trying to reclaim what they had in the 90s or something. I don't know. It's starting to make me a little sick.
I don't want to sound like a broken record, but I agree with you completely.
Yeah.
And there was a reason we only had one DC book this week, and I really try and give us two every week.
I know. We've read many terrible DC books. It just keeps going and going.
It's like I read Marvel. I mean, I look at the list of what's coming out in Marvel. I'm always going, well, what two should I do?
Mm-hmm.
And in DC, I'm like, can I find two?
Yeah.
That I want to read.
I hear you.
If I get Larfleeze and Animal Man in the same week, there you go. But Larfleeze is probably going to be canceled, and Animal Man is ending. So yeah.
Let's kill the good books.
Yeah, but I'm a buy Magneto number one. I think it's a very solid debut issue, and everyone should definitely check it out. If you've seen First Class and enjoyed that Nazi hunting Magneto, definitely pick this up.
I think even if you've not seen First Class like me, just buy it because it's a friggin' awesome book.
Very true indeed. Lastly this week is Moon Knight number one. When this book was announced, I could not have been more excited because it's Warren Ellis again writing superhero comics, which, you know, he hasn't done in forever.
Right.
But Warren Ellis writer, Declan Shelby doing art, Jordi Belair doing colors. She did color in both of these. And Chris Alopoulos on letters. And this is Warren Ellis basically retconning the last decade of, or more than that, of Moon Knight.
Mm-hmm.
Moon Knight is one of those perpetual C-list characters that they've tried to make pertinent, and it just has failed over and over again. I mean,
yep.
Brian Michael Bendis, who usually has like kind of a golden touch with these, I mean, he made Luke Cage and who else am I thinking of? I can't think of him. But, you know, he's made all these kind of all these forgotten characters. He's tried to bring them back and made them semi-useful. And Moon Knight, he just has struck out multiple times in the past decade or so. And this kind of is like, have you watched the new the Sherlock, BBC Sherlock, Eric?
Yes, I have.
This reminded me a lot of that.
Okay. I think so. You know, swaggering around being a jerk detective.
Yep, exactly. This is kind of very putting. It's right in line with a lot of stuff Warren Ellis has been doing in the past 5 years or so. A lot of detective crime fiction.
Mm-hmm.
Like both his novels are crime fiction for the most part, and Fell, one of his last comic series, is solidly crime fiction. And this is the same kind of. That mix with superhero kind of flourishes the way that certainly the character dresses and all that is more in line with superhero comics, but most of this is, you know, inspired by crime fiction and procedurals and all that stuff. What do you think about their artistic choice in not coloring him in costume?
Well,
do you think I like it? I'm wondering if you like it.
I certainly don't have a problem with it. It's, okay. You have to go stark. You have to go bold.
Mm-hmm.
It's that Mobius quote of garish and beautiful. Mm-hmm. You know, and this book is garish.
Yeah, it is.
You know, and I think it's interesting that they managed to. It doesn't really come off as garish, but Moon Knight is so stark white, it's pretty garish. And
he pops.
The scene with the villain is just red and orange, and it's like almost hard to look at.
It's dark and dirty and bloody and gross. Yeah.
It is a very artistically handled book. You know, there's a lot of very clever design decisions in the drawing and layout,
mm-hmm.
as well as in the color. I mean, it's very smart.
Yeah. And I mean, this team is Warren Ellis is, you know, he's Warren Ellis. Jordi Belair is probably one of the top five colorists, at least in recognition. I mean, she worked on Pretty Deadly. She's worked on both of these Marvel books that we are enjoying. And Declan Shelby is, I love his work.
Mm-hmm.
And Warren Ellis loves using these other British artists and giving them some shine by letting them work with him. I love this book. I mean, it's very Warren Ellis-y. If you like Warren Ellis, you'll like this. I'm very excited. I don't know how, hopefully this book lasts a while. Because all his Marvel work, I really, really enjoy. I'm definitely a buy on this one.
It would be ridiculous to tell you not to buy this. Starlight is still my favorite book of this week. This and Magneto are both real tough contenders for it.
Yeah, it's aside from Batwing, we had very, very good comic books.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I think I'm a pretty resolute buy on this one as well.
Yeah, it's double buy from the Handsome Boys. Moon Knight number one, pretty good week aside from that Batwing book.
And honestly, it wasn't that bad.
It wasn't terrible.
It wasn't that bad, especially because I mean I like Demolition Man.
Taco Bell winning the fast food wars.
I'm take you to Taco Bell.
Please don't. Please. God. I'd like my internal organs to work correctly. It's my favorite.
Come on. You know you want a taco made out of Cheetos or whatever in the shit they do.
Do you know that taco, the Doritos taco shell actually has less calories than a normal taco shell?
That says a lot of bad things.
Other books I read this week that I wanted to mention. The Daredevil Infinite comic. It's kind of following him as he travels from New York to LA. Of course, there's problems with the flight and it lands and there's all kinds of stuff happening. But it's Mark Waid writing a digital comic. He's has tons of experience with his Thrillbent digital publishing already. So they do a really good job with the digital comic. He's very already like in this medium that's not very old. He's the one who's probably had the most experience with it, so he knows how to do it very well. Rover Red Charlie, which we reviewed several of those issues already. The newest issue came out. It's really sad. It's really
Robbie actually texted me apropos of nothing and said Rover Red Charlie's sad.
Yeah, it's...
So it's that sad.
Yeah. With a book that its main characters are dogs, you expect it to, you know, hit hard when, like, something bad happens to one of them. But it doesn't even do that to make it sad. It just is sad. It's really, really... It's good. Hey, Garth Ennis knows how to write comic books. Surprise.
I am surprised.
I definitely suggest... picking it up. If you haven't started, I wouldn't just pick it up midstream, but definitely worth purchasing. Excellent book. A lot of trades and collections coming out or came out this week. A lot of good ones. First and foremost, I'll be picking it up. Uncanny X-Force Omnibus by Rick Remender. I mentioned it many times. I love that series, and it's amazing. And I'm going to pick it up, and you should too.
Personally, I'm sick of hearing you talk about it.
Well, you're going to probably get sicker because I'm eventually talk about it again.
Probably so.
Probably. Volume 7 of Avatar, The Last Airbender, is out. I know Eric picks those up.
I certainly do.
Yeah. Dream Thief Volume 1, Animal Man Volume 4, I'll be buying that. Bedlam Volume 2, I'll be getting that. Fatale, the hardcover collection of the first two trades, the first 12 issues, I believe, is out. Satellite Sam Volume 1. Walking Dead Volume 20, All Out War, the first section of that. I don't even know how long it's going to go on. Uncanny X-Men, the new Bendis run with, you know, Renegade Cyclops is finally out in actual trade paperback. It's been on hardcover for quite a while. All Marvel's Muppets comics, they're recent. They published maybe two dozen of them in the past few years. This is an omnibus collecting all of them. And finally, Quantum and Woody, the reboot from Valiant Comics. Volume 2 is out on trade as well. Tons of good stuff. You guys go buy all those things. Support your favorite books. But Eric, put your glasses on. Put your fancy computer glasses on.
I'm not wearing them right now.
Whoa.
My eyes are rotting out of my head.
Even better excuse to grab them because it is time for Nerd Boy Book Club.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness.
I didn't realize it'd be that time today.
I know. We have a very Brandon Graham week this week.
This week.
I didn't say it. I needed one more time.
You do.
I needed to say it three times. We're doing Prophet Volumes 1 through 3 and the complete Multiple Warheads. Kind of contrast, compare, discussion about all that is Brandon Graham in his recent output. I think we should start out with Multiple Warheads. You think that's all right, Eric?
I protest. No,
you do.
That makes good enough sense to me.
Okay, this is a collection of Multiple Warheads from Alphabet to Infinity 1 through 4, plus mm-hmm. some other collected material, a couple one shots, and the porn comic. That started it all back when he was still drawing porn comics, as opposed to just lots of comics with lots of butts in them, which is what he draws now for the most part.
Yep.
Which is not porn. It's very brand. I'm trying to think of like a word that is Brandon Graham esque, like an adverb that can describe it succinctly.
I don't know that he could be
described that
succinctly, unless you're just going to say puns and butts.
Pun-bustic?
Like, if you could portmanteau those two words.
Puns and butts.
Yes.
There's lots of those things. Which
buns.
Are buns.
Yeah. There we go. I've done it.
Yeah. It's full of puns and absolutely incredibly detailed, like, landscapes and universe building mm-hmm. stuff and a lot of landmark testament Brandon Graham artistic techniques and stuff like that, which Eric is better at describing than I am. But the plot is fairly simple. It follows, there's really two stories going on. One is following, both involving organ smugglers to a certain extent. You have Sexica, and her name is Sexica.
Mm-hmm.
That's quite a name. And her.
I think he used, wasn't that the girl's name in King City as well?
I don't remember.
I swear to God her name was also Sexica. Like, I feel like that's a name he's used more than once.
But it's following, she's an organ smuggler. It's this post-apocalyptic dystopian. So it's set in, or I guess it's Russia, or what used to be Russia. Now it's kind of this weird mutated version of Russia with, like, weird aliens and mutations, and her boyfriend who is like half werewolf because he got a werewolf dick like sewn onto him. which I don't think that's how organs work, but whatever. I'm pretty sure it does. You just sew like werewolf dicks on you and you become half werewolf. You grow a tail. And then the other story is another organ smuggler who's going through. They kind of go on vacation to begin this book. They just kind of like start exploring the wasteland in their sentient car. And the other half of the story is another sex. See, I already got sex on the brain. Sexica.
Just calm it down there, hotshot.
Nora, another organ smuggler, as she is trying to do something. I'm not. I think that's my biggest complaint about this book. It's just kind of aimless.
It is very aimless, and I think that's why I'm drawn to the black and white book better. The one that the Downfall versus what is this called? Alphabet.
Alphabet to Infinity.
Yeah. It and I was thinking about this, is he was certainly releasing the earlier books to try and tell a story and explore some characters. Mm-hmm. The same way he was with King City, it sort of had a point. It seems like Multiple Warheads, he's sort of doing just to entertain himself, and he talks about in some of the pages like, "Oh, I'm gonna release 3 or 4 books a year, and then I'm gonna take some time off, and I'm gonna do it the way I want to. I'm gonna draw it the way I want to, and I'm gonna take my time on it." Mm-hmm. And I think that's what it is. You know, he gets really interested in this bounty hunter chick that doesn't seem connected to the characters at all. Goes off and follows her for a really long time. What were you saying?
They mention her once and early on, and then
it's not clear when and where she's going to connect up with these characters, if it's ever going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, and I don't really think that it needs to. This is kind of the way back when the first couple books of King City came out, that I never knew there would ever be a conclusion to the story. And it just sort of went on and went on.
Yeah. I think this is, I mean, people who are fans of Brandon Graham, you just, of which I count myself one, it's just kind of dwelling in this universe with him is kind of what's selling the book in the first place. It's not, it is not a, you know, tightly plotted action adventure story. It's just kind of, you know, seeing him do what he wants, seeing him experiment and create this weird universe and his, you know, his, all the little layout, all that weird layout stuff that just details stuff that's happening in the periphery, which is, I mean, the best way I can use to describe it. It just, you know, there's in the back, there's a couple like mini comics that are just stuff that they talk about in the, like in conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And which are really interesting. And it's, they're clearly just to flesh out the universe a little bit. They're not really, there's nothing of like importance necessarily in them.
Yeah. But I can never tell if every bit of this is just sort of made up on the fly based off of some dumb joke that's just just between him and himself, or if this is all like really, really incredibly well thought out, because it feels really full and really rich. Like it feels like you just sort of keep tumbling down the rabbit hole on it.
Yes. And either way, I think it's very impressive.
Mm-hmm.
The puns in this is just,
it's too much. It's like there's 20 puns on every page.
Yeah.
There's more puns than there is story.
Yeah, like involved in the story of Nora, this bounty hunter smuggler. There, she's facing on these clones. And why do you all share the same face? We're Marks men. We're all clones of Ian Marks. marksmen.
Mm-hmm.
It's just over and over. That's one example of hundreds.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and this is not a gigantic book. This is maybe, what, a third of the length of King City? Maybe half? All of it?
It's not terribly long, no.
And it has... It's just... That page near the end where he uses all the fruits and pears and...
The guy just keeps saying pears, and then he starts throwing apple in there.
Apparently, and risk the perils of the outside world to be there in person when the person... I almost had to wave a white flag there.
It was a bit much. It was too much to deal with. But I think that, I don't know, there's a whimsical silliness, a fun that he brings to his books that I don't think anyone else really has. I mean, he'll bring you the crazy ideas that other writers can bring you, but they're not. I don't know. His ideas will make you smile, and I think that there's a lot of joy in reading the dumb shit he puts down.
Yeah, the only thing I have in mind, I mean, that's like as fun and kind of whimsical as in this is I want to like in mainstream comics is Hawkeye. To a certain extent, but even that is it's because it's tied to the Marvel universe. It can never be like this is. It's because Brandon Graham is reached a point where he can do this, where he can just do what he wants to a certain extent.
Yeah,
this comic exists. You want to describe the art, Eric? I mean, your vocabulary.
I'm going to use the M word.
Yeah, I know you are. I know. But it's okay.
Brandon Graham, as we know, if you've listened to us blabber about Brandon Graham before, big fan of Jean Girard, Mobius, one of the most influential cartoonists, comic artists, French artists. I mean, I really don't know how to slice it. He has been a giant, and people adore him.
Yeah.
We've even brought him up independent in this very episode, independent of what we're talking about here. But the big sweeping landscapes, and just the crazy science fiction ideas. It's very Mobius, but at the same time, he's very much his own man, you know? It's a strange cartoony style. It's difficult to describe. I don't particularly think that he's like an amazing, like top tier draftsman. You know, I don't think of Brandon Graham being like an amazing like god of artists. You know, like the kind of guy that can draw anything perfectly, or you know whatever. But he can just draw the most stupid, inane thing. You know, he'll draw a guy like telling you about what he had for breakfast, and it's delightful. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that literally happens in King City.
Yeah.
And you're like, that's interesting, or that's funny, or whatever. He creates characters and creates worlds in ways that really shouldn't be as interesting and fun as they are.
Well, I think you already mentioned, like, the whimsical and fun that he brings to comics. I think aesthetically, he ties his ideas and his art together perfectly. I think that's, like you said, you're not going to necessarily say, oh, he's the best artist ever. But he can transform these crazy ideas in his head to the page, and it it delivers that fun and whimsy.
Yeah.
That, like, almost seems effortlessly.
You know, he's the Dr. Seuss of comic artists.
That's a good description.
Yeah. It's I think he would probably appreciate that comparison.
Yeah. I say we move on to Prophet.
I think I'm into talking about it. I'll allow it.
Yeah. Prophet is, I think, should be mentioned first, is a Rob Liefeld creation.
Just so weird.
It's a strange idea that all this stuff is Rob Liefeld's. He created that the character of Prophet back in the 90s. And you even, there is even a scene or a shot in the third book where they get like a Liefeld-esque drawing of all these characters, and they're almost unrecognizable when compared to how the style ends in these volumes, in these three trades. Like, this is, and Brandon Graham should be mentioned, it does not draw most of this. He does a little bit of like one issue, I think, in the first two trades. Let me check in the third trade if he actually drew any of the. He didn't even draw anything in the third trade.
I did think it was very interesting that he seems to pick artists that either that or he's really coaching them, because a lot of these things look like his drawings.
Well, I know he does a lot of the layouts.
Doing the layouts, yes.
Yeah, which influences a lot. You can see it, like all those little panels where you see what's everything that's in their pack, or there's definitely not as many of them as there is in Multiple Warheads or King City, where he does, like, I don't know how to describe it in comic book terms, but it's like a sidebar.
Yeah, kind of thing, where he lists all the stuff that they're carrying.
Or you just get a little infographic about
something. Yeah, he does it a lot. He does it an awful lot.
And it's not as done nearly as much, because it's almost impossible to do it near as much as King City or Multiple Warheads or, mm-hmm. you know, that has. But it's still in these books, and it's definitely you can actually see his influence on stuff that he's not even drawing. But I think, I mean, like you said, the Mobius influence, I mean, I think he just picks up guys who he likes.
Mm-hmm. And definitely, they're clearly very influenced by European comics as well.
Yeah, exactly.
They all seem to have a lot of heroes in common.
Yeah, and I think that's really all it takes, is that he goes, well, I know these guys, I like their style. Mm-hmm. We're influenced by the same people. I'll pick them to draw, and he uses a slew of them. There's three or four different artists throughout all these issues. The story is crazy, and it's kind of like it uses the character of John Prophet that Liefeld created, but it kind of just takes it in a crazy, crazy direction. Basically, he's been asleep for an unknown length of time, a long time. Yeah, did you get a grasp of how long it was, Eric? I would say hundreds, if not over 1,000 years or something. It's
maybe even longer than that. Yeah, I mean, new animals have been either created or evolved, so it's conceivable that it's like hundreds of thousands or a million years.
Yeah, it's a very long time. And there's basically, he wakes, and there's, at the same time, these clones of him that are basically seeds from Earth to reestablish Earth as an empire. Earth has been taken over, destroyed. Humans are basically meat. They're farmed like cows are.
Mm-hmm.
And these seeds of these John Prophet clones have been, like, genetically manipulated to eventually retake the universe, or at least reestablish control over most of the universe for Earth, for humans. But John, the original John Prophet, also is awaking, and he is trying to stop them. He is it's kind of, his motivation is kind of unclear.
I think all the motivation in this book is sort of unclear.
Yeah,
it's certainly less aimless.
Yeah.
Than Multiple Warheads is. Like, it's clear he's going somewhere with it, but it is very difficult to follow what's happening because this book is just so full of crazy nonsense.
Yeah, there's a lot of...
Yes, there's so much.
There's a lot, like, a lot of even the first volume, you don't even see the original John Prophet for the most part. You just kind of get alluded to him, his existence. The most of it is just watching these different clones wake up and you see them, what they're doing on wherever they woke up, an alien planet or some giant spaceship or crazy stuff. I mean, not to the second and third volumes do you even get a semblance of direction, like why this is happening. And it's good, but it's certainly, I don't see any of this like paying off anytime soon. This is going to take a long time to develop to everything to match. I can see where it's going near the end of the third volume. You can see like a team of these clones and John Prophet kind of heading in the same direction. So I assume that they're going to meet up, or and there's a lot of these overlords that are trying to control all these clones, and it's kind of vague about their, I guess, I don't know if it would be better if it had more.
We talked about Multiple Warheads being unfocused.
Yeah.
This feels unfocused, but in a different way. This just feels like it's going a lot of different directions, but it's crazy intense in every direction.
Yes, it is. Very, very intense. Mm-hmm. It reminded me, it's so strange, it's like a sci-fi, very weird, heavy, crazy sci-fi stuff, but it felt like a Conan the Barbarian comic.
It is very Conan the Barbarian. All of them are. I mean, and the fact that they all kind of have their own catchphrases that they say. That's like, you know, Krom or whatever in the hell Conan says. He says, "I have all."
Yeah, I have all. And in the second and third volumes, you see John Prophet like start to slowly rebuild his team, mm-hmm. all from the old days, the Rot Liefeld days, and you know that's it. That's, I think, my favorite part about all this.
Yes,
that is the best of it, is the fact that, you know, these friends are, you see these friendships, you know, the old friendships slowly come together, and this team, it's kind of Avengers Assemble kind of moments.
I think it's the most focused, it's the most clearest what's going on.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not just like something truly bizarre happening. You have no idea. Well, I don't know how to feel about this thing happening.
Yeah, you know, follow this giant slug caravan, and yes. What? Someone just died, and someone didn't die, and oh, what's there? Someone's being chased, and now he's climbing a mountain. Now he doesn't have an arm. Now he has an alien arm attached with goo, and it's just, yeah, bombarded with
yes
crazy stuff.
And I mean, I like that kind of thing.
Yes.
It doesn't mean this isn't worth reading. I just would prefer just a couple of threads of this. You know?
It's a lot of stuff not being tied together for you. You have to do a lot of the work.
Yeah.
To tie this stuff together and figure it out. It is not spelled out for you.
It's exhausting reading this.
It's very. You have to really pay attention. You have mm-hmm. to go, that's this, and this is that, and tie all these threads together yourself, because it is not explained. And I think that is a strength and a weakness at the same time, where it's rewarding when you do tie these threads together, when you make a connection in your head between stuff happening. You go, oh, that's neat, and you figure that out. But at the same time, you have to put forth all that effort, and when you not necessarily want to do that all the time when you're reading a comic book, you know. It's that world building that is, it's a very, you know, double-edged sword. I mean, you put enough depth there, and you can, it's really rewarding to dive in, but at the same time, you can drown in it.
I believe I've been underwater a little bit during this read.
I should mention that Supreme, another Rob Liefeld creation, at least his body, makes an appearance in this, and it made me think of Alan Moore's Supreme.
Yeah, it's kind of hard not to think about this, even from when I first heard that it was he was a Rob Liefeld character, because Comixology lists them all under one single, they're all one under one banner.
Yeah, Prophet. Yeah, and it's an accomplished comic creator. Brandon Graham's certainly not as famous as Alan Moore is, but you know, kind of retooling and kind of just throwing out everything for the most part. A lot of that stuff, he just kind of, whatever he's not using, he just goes puh and throws it out the window and creates a crazy world to reside in. Alan Moore Supreme and this are not similar, really. I mean, they have crazy stuff in them, but they're not themed the same.
They're all the product of diseased minds.
Exactly. Like it's kind of an unavoidable comparison. But I don't think it's ever bad necessarily. I mean, to be a comic creator, to be compared with Alan Moore, I don't think that's... unless he has in his beard growth. Maybe. I don't. Other than that.
He will call you out on your beard. You have to grow it right. You got to keep it clean.
The original intention of this is to compare multiple warheads and Prophet. I mean, they're both very recent Brandon Graham like creations. Both of this stuff has been in the last year or two. I mean, Prophet 3 just came out maybe less than a month ago. It's certainly you can see his signatures in both, but other than that, I mean, they're not really, this Prophet is very very intense,
yeah,
and gritty and grim, and not in the bad DC way, but it is certainly not Multiple Warheads. It has that whimsy, and this is not whimsical for the most part. There are moments in it, like little tiny moments. Like when a crew member is getting drunk on Prophet's ship. But other than that, it's very kind of serious. Like we said, it reminded us of Conan the Barbarian. It has that same kind of yelling, killing. And even in the quiet introspective parts, it has this like great portent of, you know, heavy sci-fi stuff. And Multiple Warheads is just kind of a fun adventure. Even when people are getting killed, it's never, you don't ever feel, you know, like it weighs on you as much. And I think that's interesting that the same creator makes stuff that's incredibly similar and yet really different at the same time. Which one do you like more, Eric? Do you like Multiple Warheads more?
I could spend a lot more time in the Multiple Warheads universe.
Yeah.
But to be perfectly frank, I'm more interested in the Prophet universe, but I think that I'm going to have to be a little bit more sporadic, a little bit more sparse about, you know, how I'm going to dish that out, because it's weighing on me a little bit.
Yeah, you have to, I had bought the first trade a Prophet when it came out a long time ago. I mean, a long, long time ago. A year ago or 2 years ago. And I read it and I was just like, okay. If you had just read this first trade, you have no idea the greater plot of this comic. There's no really trace of it for the most part. You read 1, 2, and 3 all together, it ties it together more. And it lets you draw upon more greater conclusions. Multiple Warheads is just kind of, you don't have to make a great commitment to it. It's just there to enjoy. I still enjoy King City a lot more, probably because it's a tighter story. But Multiple Warheads is still enjoyable. I have to agree with you, though. I think I like Prophet more.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I certainly, if there was more Multiple Warheads, I would certainly read it. But it's that type of thing where, like, he would ask me, oh, is this the entire, is this all multiple reds? I'm like, yes and no. Because it, I mean, it could be. He could never release another one, and it would stand well. It, I don't think it would change my opinion of it if he, quote-unquote, finished it. You know, added to the story or put some kind of finality on it. I don't think it would change my opinion much. So I still say the profit is stronger, but I think it's really up to your taste, to every person's, you know, how they, what they think of the aesthetics and what they're looking for in a comic book, really. Yeah. But I would definitely suggest picking up both of these if I mean, you should like Brandon Graham. You should be a fan of Brandon Graham. We both pretty much are firm on that one. He's a great comics creator, and his work is always good if filled with butts.
Button it up.
Button it up. That was Multiple Warheads and Prophet, both by Brandon Graham. Prophet Volume 1 through 3 out now. Multiple Warheads, the complete collection, also available at all fine comic retailers and the internets. If you like the internets. Both of those places. Okay, folks, next week we are doing The Sinestro Corps War by Geoff Johns. A very large component of him revamping and making the Green Lanterns what they are today. Especially in, with him helming the gigantic, terrible, awful DC event going on right now. Give us a little insight as to how he got to be the main writer at DC and if anything has changed. But with that, we have one last segment. I know Eric likes it. You know what we're doing next, right, Eric?
What's happening?
It's time, once again, for the Brian Lee O'Malley Tweet Quiz.
Oh, God, just kill me now.
For those who don't know, this is the segment where I quiz Eric with four choices. Three of them are tweets from Brian Lee O'Malley's Twitter feed, famously creator of Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Is that what he did?
That's what he did. We actually read it once for this the same podcast.
I do remember that.
Yeah, and I look at his Twitter feed for the past week, pick three of them, and then write one of my own and mix them around, give them to Eric, and he has to choose which one does not belong, which one I wrote.
And then I fail to guess which one it is.
And then he fails to guess which one it is, yeah. Well, not necessarily. You've gotten some right.
What am I? Am I 25%, 33%?
I think you're 33 repeating. You're 3 out of 10.
3 out of 10.
Yeah.
Not exactly. Yeah, not exactly 33%, but...
3 repeating.
I guess.
So,
that's actually 3 out of 9.
Oh, that's true. 3 out of 10, 300.
Fractions!
Exactly. I'm not very good at them.
It's okay.
You ready?
Ready as I'll ever be there, slugger.
All right, here we go. Number one. I'm allergic to Apple products that have the word mini in them. Number two. I'm allergic to shadows. Number three, I'm allergic to the specter of war. And number four, I'm allergic to tables, but only when they have no stuff on them. You want it one more time, Eric?
Yes.
Okay. Number one, I'm allergic to Apple products that have the word mini in them. Number two, I'm allergic to shadows. Number three, I'm allergic to the specter of war. And number four, I'm allergic to tables, but only when they have no stuff on them. Notice the theme?
Yes. All of these are written in words.
Your clock begins now!
That's good.
I know.
This is... I hate you so much.
it was too perfect not to do.
No, I think so. Did he do more of these other than three?
No.
He just did three.
He did three. Exactly three. And when a gift horse looked, there's some phrase I'm trying to say, but I can't because I'm dumb.
Well, that'll teach me to give you a horse.
Don't look a gift horse in the mouth. I'm trying to reword that, and I can't because I'm stupid.
Yes,
so.
Well. Don't horse a gift in the mouth.
When a gift horse looks you in the mouth, no. When a mouth in the gift horse looks, no.
And then you just pull your own head off and die.
What are you thinking, Eric?
This is a tough one. I want to say that the two that I'm drawn to are Shadows and the Spectre of War. Because I want to believe that Shadows is just so simple that it seems weird that he would throw it in there. And the Spectre of War seems too deep for him.
To those who don't know, Brian Lee O'Malley's Twitter is...
full of inane bullshit.
I was going to say, to be nice, it would be silly, but...
No.
If to be more accurate, would be what Eric said.
It's inane doggerel.
Yeah.
And he loves it that way.
He does.
To be honest, the Spectre of War, I'm going to say that it's too much for him. That it sounds a little bit too deep for him. Like, I could see him saying the longer ones.
Mm-hmm.
I could see him saying, just be like, I'm allergic to shadows. Nope. But the Spectre of War doesn't work. It seems too deep, and we'll learn in a second if this was a clever ruse by you or not.
So
that is my answer.
To the Spectre of War.
Yes,
and that's your final answer.
Number three, Spectre of War, final answer.
Incorrect. The correct answer is I'm allergic to Apple products that have the word mini in them.
Wow, really?
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 Well, there we go.
There we go. Eric,
I was even wrong with my guesses. My 50-50.
You know what that means, Eric?
What's that?
It means I'm getting too good at this.
You are. It's disgusting.
Brian Lee O'Malley's infiltrating my brain.
Do you spend a lot of time huffing gasoline?
Not lately. I've been driving Kim's Prius, so I don't use as much. I fill up less. Go green.
Go green. Go team meat.
Perfectly cromulent color.
I guess so.
But anyway, folks, that was the Brian Lee O'Malley tweet quiz. Eric failed, but he will have another opportunity.
Just remember, I failed for your pleasure.
Exactly. He makes you feel good with his failure.
The thing is, I don't think anyone would be better at this game.
No. It's impossible.
There's no being good at this.
No, it's not. Yeah, I don't. There's not. It's not a skill you can just learn.
No. I mean, you can cheat.
You can use, you can either track his Twitter or you can, like, try and metagame and not even, like, even think about. Just try and figure out which one I wrote just by, like, looking at the ones and, like trying to study me. But then I'll just change. I've learned not to do anything with cats in them because that's a dead giveaway.
Well, if he just...
I like it when little dogs sound like little dogs.
That's true.
That's my best one.
The first one or something.
It was the first one, and it was my best one.
It's still the funniest one, anyway.
Yeah. I think, well, I mean, I think that's the goal.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's it is unreal.
I like it when little dogs sound like little dogs. Anyway, folks, that will bring this episode to a close.
Thank God.
Thank God. Eric can go to bed. Before we go, I would like to mention we have MegaCon coming up in 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks now.
Yes.
And we'll have a booth there, a corner booth, fancy. I didn't realize that until like a month ago, and I'm like, whoa, we're going to have a corner booth.
Yep.
We have two tables to put shit on.
So we're going to be the fancy pantsiest.
Fancy pantsiest, but if you are in the Central Florida area, please visit us. Come to MegaCon. A lot of tons of good comic creators and, like, you know, art, you know, popular people. You know, Ron Perlman and that's the only one I'm really interested in meeting. Will Wheaton's going to – I know Eric's going to go punch Will Wheaton in the face.
I don't hate Will Wheaton.
I like projecting this hate of him on you.
You do this with everybody, though. It's just like, well – I guess you're going to kill this guy because you've once said something bad about him.
That's what that means, doesn't it?
Yes, it does, actually. I am going to beat Will Wheaton to death with his own arm.
Ron Perlman, Carl Urban will also be there. You know, so Bones from the new Star Trek movie.
Movies. Yes.
Plus, and he's Dredd. And the good Dredd movie.
The good Dredd movie.
Not the bad one.
You are? Demolition Man.
It's like the same movie. They're like, they could be set in the same universe. They're so weird, and like the art styles in them is just, whatever. But they'll both be there. Tons. Mark Waid is the one I can name off the top of my head, but tons of great comic creators. MegaCon's always a lot of fun. Come hang out, see us, shake our hands, let Eric draw something for you. I'll insult you.
Let Robbie draw something for you.
I'll do it for free because I'm terrible.
I usually do sketches for free.
Okay. See, let Eric draw something for free because his will actually look nice.
And Robbie will charge you and it'll be epic.
Yeah, $5 for the worst drawing you'll ever see.
Yep. I've never seen you draw anything. I really wonder what it looks like.
It's bad. I'm not a good artist. I have no semblance of skill. Like if I pay very close attention, I can draw something very, very simple, but it takes me forever. Well, it holds up to no scrutiny. Immediately can be ripped apart.
Well, I will scrutinize you.
While we're sitting there for 8 hours at a time, I'll draw you something, and then you can commission something from me.
Sure.
But come visit us. I'm going to yell at you again next week about it. But now...
You'd best.
Yes, you'd best. We are the Handsome Boys Comics Hour. You can find us at handsomeboyscomicshour.com 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Find us on iTunes. Search for Handsome Boys Comics Hour. Subscribe to us there. Leave us nice reviews. Gets us more listeners. And we like more listeners. And you should, too. You can find us on Facebook. Facebook.com/HandsomeBoysComicsHour. Like us there. And we'll put stuff in your feed. We'll feed you. You can find us on Tumblr. HandsomeBoysComicsHour.tumblr.com. We're on Twitter. At HBC Hour. You can email us at handsomeboyscomics@gmail.com. At any of these places, leave us comments, suggestions, criticisms, Valentine's for Eric.
Yes, of course.
He likes them. Especially if they're superhero themed. Superman with a big heart.
They can be Ninja Turtle themed.
Oh, that's good too. That's true.
They can be... Skyrim themed.
Ooh, took you arrow in the knee.
Yes.
Something.
Arrow to my heart.
Ooh.
See what I did there?
Charmin.
Yes. That's Charmin. Nice.
Charmin like toilet paper.
Yeah, just like it.
I think that's it for that. You can find me on Twitter at Mixmaster Serial. That's MixmasterCereal. It's a lot of letters. altogether.
It's a few.
It's a few. And I'm also on Tumblr at the same name. Eric, where can they find you and your things online?
You can get at some of my things.
Thanks.
If you go to my portfolio at freewillunlimited.com, you can see most of the other things I get up to. At ericzgoodnight.com, and you can tweet at me at my Twitter handle is Mr. Bad Example, spelled MR Bad Example. I nearly said you could tweet at me at twitter.com.
Well, you can.
I think that's where every motherfucker tweets at you.
I don't think anybody tweets.
I am not special.
Twitter.
I do not own Twitter.
That'd be pretty awesome.
If I did, I would own the biggest Ponzi scheme on earth.
It's true.
I love Twitter, but motherfucker, this shit is a social media is a Ponzi scheme. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it kind of is. But with that, folks. Some Twitter Ponzi scheme talk.
Yes.
That'll bring us to a close. Until next time, have a good one.
Rock and roll.
Is it a kitty cat?
No.
Did you get a kitty cat?
No.
Why not?
Because I don't have love in my heart.